First Peter chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. People would ask you, how can you call Good Friday good? What is good about Good Friday? How is it that Christians call Good Friday good? It is because man is in need of a Savior. Man is in need of a Savior. Having committed sin, he is justly condemned as punishment for it. Romans 3, verse 23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned and fall short of His glory. In Romans 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why do we call Good Friday good? Because we are in condemnation. We are condemned apart from Jesus Christ. The punishment due upon our sin, apart from Jesus Christ dying on the cross, is death. As a sinner, the Scripture says to us in Ezekiel 18, behold, all souls are mine, the soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die. In Ezekiel 18, the Lord not only tells us once, but He tells us twice. In verse 20, He tells us once again, the soul who sins shall die. Why? Do Christians call Good Friday good? Because unless God Almighty acted to save man, all of mankind would perish. All of mankind would perish. For the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Unless God acted to save men, all of mankind would perish. On Good Friday, we remember that God has acted on the behalf of mankind. This is why a Christian can say Good Friday is good, because the soul that sins shall surely die, and the wages of sin is death, but God has acted on our behalf. Good Friday is good to a Christian, because whatever salvation man has must come as a gift of God's grace. Good Friday is good to the Christian, for he understands that his salvation is a gift from Almighty God, that we cannot earn our salvation. The Christian says Good Friday is good because he knows that Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 tells him, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The Christian can say Good Friday is good Because God acted to save man, sending His Son, then giving His Son a people to redeem, because they could not redeem themselves. And no, that only one that sees themselves as a sinner, first and foremost, can ever say that Good Friday is good. Only a sinner that knows that he is justly condemned, that he deserves to be damned to hell for eternity, only that one can say Good Friday is good. It is not the heresy of the liberal that says the crucifixion of Jesus Christ was an example. It was the penalty for the wages of sin is death. Good Friday is good to those that see themselves as a sinner, that knows that they need God to act on their behalf and bestow a gift upon them. For they know that they do not deserve salvation. Good Friday is only good to those that see themselves in the light of Romans 3, verses 10 through 12. Good Friday is good for this reason. Paul tells us in Romans 3, verses 10 through 12, that there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. That is why Good Friday is good for a Christian. Because the one that was good died in our place. Because there is none good. Good Friday is good if you know God is the agent that bestowed a gift upon you, upon one whose soul sinned, and that the punishment of that is death. Then to you, Good Friday is good. Good Friday is good if you understand that God's love was great enough to send His Son to make lost man's salvation possible. We so quickly quote John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have eternal life." That is only important to you if you understand that there is none good. There is none who understands. There is none righteous. That the soul that sinneth shall surely die. That the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 5, verses 8, speaks of the great love. The great love that the Father has. He says, people say, "Well, how has God loved me? He hasn't given me my husband, my wife, my job, my car, my health, my stuff." And yet you say God loves? Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God demonstrates, He puts it on display for all mankind, but God demonstrates His own love. His own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners." But you got to see yourself as a sinner. "While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The us has to see themselves as sinners that are justly condemned, that know, unless God acts on my behalf, I am damned, I am condemned. There is eternity in hell for me. But the Bible says He demonstrated His great love, His own love. God the Father's own love, and that while we were still sinners, And in that same chapter, it says, you were without strength and you were his enemy. He said, I showed you my great love. That you would question my love as Job questioned my love. You question my love because some stuff has been taken away from you. Jesus Christ died as a sacrifice for man's sin. That is why Good Friday is good to the Christian. He knows he needs an atonement. He knows that his good works are as filthy rags before the thrice holy God. He knows that Christ died as a sacrifice, that the Father sent him to die. 1 Peter 3:18, our text tells us, for Christ also suffered once for sin. No, you that would celebrate a mass, that sacrifice day after day, Jesus Christ, once again, that is blasphemy, that is heresy. He has suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust. The godly for the ungodly. The holy for the unholy. The pure one for the impure one. The just for the unjust. In order that, for this reason, Peter tells us, you want to know why Good Friday is good? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, the great exchange, your sins for his righteousness, so that in order that he might bring us to God. He might bring us to God. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not the Pope, not a priest. That he might bring us to God. Is that the gospel that you know, that God had to act on your behalf? The soul that sinneth shall surely die. The wages of sin is death. God Almighty has given you a free gift of salvation in his Son. And his Son died one time for you, the just for the unjust, to bring you to God. What is better in this world to know that Jesus Christ has brought you to God? Do you dwell there? Do you glory there? He's brought you to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. He brings us to God. He caused you to come with him to God. He brought us to God at a price, though. At a price. He, being God, was not able to bring you to God without a sacrifice. But then his holiness, his justice, his wrath, his holiness would have been compromised. He brought you to God, but a sacrifice had to be offered. This is why Good Friday is good. Look at the example of one laying down his life for another one. As the liberal proclaims, his life was a life of suffering, as it was prophesied in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah 53. He suffered. Isaiah 53:3, he is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. He suffered once for sin. He suffered you who have been despised, who have been rejected, that knows sorrow, that knows grief, when people hide their faces from you, when you are despised and people don't esteem you, when they give you a wrong look or something, the way that makes you feel. He was rejected by man. The suffering that's caused by being despised and rejected and cast away, that's one of the sorrows that he knew. It was prophesied that that's the way he would be. But the Jew, all they seen was the conquering king. They didn't see the lowly one that rode in on a donkey. They didn't see him. They didn't see the one that would be crucified. They didn't see Yom Kippur. They didn't see the atonement. They didn't see the lamb that would be slain. His life was one of suffering. He suffered the reproach not only of the religious leaders of his day. His family esteemed him not. They sought the religious people to kill him on many occasions. Turn to Matthew 26. He suffered once for sins. Matthew 26 speaks of the religious people of his day. Matthew 26, 3 and 4. And most of the day, when you preach a suffering Christ, they will despise you. They will reject you. They will shun you. They will want nothing to do with you. For they don't want nothing to do with the Christ of Scripture. Matthew 26, 3 and 4 says, "Then the chief priest, the scribes, and the elders of the people assembled at the palace of the high priest, who was called Caiaphas, and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and to kill him." He suffered once for sins. Conspired to kill him. They conspired with Judas to have him delivered to them. During 5 separate illegal trials, he was spit upon, slapped, mocked, beating. And Christ is just taken so flippantly today. No sense of awe, no sense of reverence, no sense of holiness, no sense of here the man suffered, the God-man Christ suffered more than we are able to comprehend. Henry Dosker has written about crucifixion that it was one of the most painful ways of execution man has ever devised. Listen closely, you who think that you can be saved by your works or be saved apart from Christ. This is what God turned his son over for. The suffering of death by crucifixion was intense, especially in hot climates. Severe local inflammation coupled with an insignificant bleeding of the jagged wounds produced traumatic fever, which was aggravated by the exposure to the heat of the sun, the strained position of the body, and insufferable thirst. The wounds swelled about the rough nails and the torn and lacerated tendons and nerves caused excruciating agony. The arteries of the head and stomach were surcharged with blood and a terrific throbbing headache ensued. The mind was confused and filled with anxiety and dread. Do we even look at the cross? In light of the cross, when Paul said, "All I want to know is Christ and Christ crucified." I don't want to get into all the gory details. This was the most horrendous death the man could go through. Christ not only suffered physically, but he suffered for our sins. For our sins. His death was not merely the case of an innocent person suffering an injustice. It was an atonement for our sins. Romans 5:11 says, "And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." That's why Friday is good. That's why there's one sacrifice. The atonement had been made. The Jew, year after year after year, offers up an atonement. There's one atonement has been made on your behalf. And Christ literally was treated as a lamb. Literally treated as a lamb. Crucified, slain. He was the propitiation for sin. The means by which sin is covered and remitted. Turn to Romans 3. When you talk about the crucifixion, it's kind of like, gets real quiet. When people sensationalize it about the gore of it all and everything. Making movies depicting what happened to Christ. Putting more to it than the Scripture has said. Romans 3, verses 24 and 25. Why is Good Friday good? For I showed you in verse 23, it said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Verse 24 and 25 tells us why Good Friday is good. Being justified freely, freely by His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation, literally the mercy seat. He has been mercy seated to you. What? By His blood. There was no other way. He suffered once for sin, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. God showed you His righteousness, His holiness, His justice, because in His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. Christ suffered the sins. In Romans 4, verses 4 to 8, the one that understands this can truly say, Good Friday is good. The one that has been mercy seated to God. That's where you ever see that, hear those seven little words, "Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner." That's what's in the middle. Lord, see God, have mercy. Be mercy seated. Be mercy seated to me, a sinner. Romans 4, verses 4 through 8, tells us, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work," notice, Christ did the work. "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly," who justifies the ungodly, not the godly, the ungodly, "his faith is accounted for righteousness." Just as David. Okay, now here's Paul, he's quoting the Old Testament. He's quoting Psalms. "Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Good Friday is good to the person that knows that. To the person that believes that. Those verses that I just showed you there, is God is the agent. God is the one that gives the gift. Christ is the one that earns the gift. to be given. And David is the one that received it, just as we are to receive it. Notice what it said. Lawless deeds are forgiven, sins are covered, and the Lord shall not impute sin. Good Friday is good to those who believe that. Because when you believe that, the peace that surpasses all understanding is the peace that you will have. And until you believe that, you will never have peace. You can jump through hoops from here to China. You can work your way from here around the world and back. And until you believe that, and your trust lies in His finished work, you will never have no peace. That blessedness, notice, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. So if you think that the Lord is imputing your sin to you, you're not blessed. You're just the opposite. You're cursed in your mind. You have no peace. Because you don't believe that His sacrifice was enough. That you can add to His sacrifice. Christ suffered for sins. And as I read in Isaiah 53, it was prophesied that that is exactly what was going to happen. That He was going to suffer on our behalf. His sacrifice is a once-for-all event. There's no addition to this event. This is seen in the contrast of His priesthood to the Levitical priesthood. Turn to 7:26. Hebrews 7:26. That's what it means in the text in Peter. He suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. Hebrews 7:26-27. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for His own sins and then for the people's. For this He did once for all when He offered up Himself. Why is Good Friday good? For the Christian knows that. He believes that. Offered up one time. His offering is complete. Hebrews 9, verses 24 to 28. For Christ has not entered the holy place made with hands. He didn't enter into a church with stained glass windows and steeples. Has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that He should offer Himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Why is Good Friday good? For the Christian looks at Calvary. He looks to the crucifixion. He looks to the sacrifice that has been made on his behalf. And he says, I am blessed. God Almighty has acted on my behalf. He showed His great love. He demonstrated His love while I was a sinner. He took action towards me and showed His great love towards me by sending His Son when I was His enemy, when I couldn't earn a salvation, when the wages of sin is death and my soul had sinned and does sin. But the Christian looks to Calvary and says, it is good. He has offered the sacrifice once. One time. Christ not only suffered physically, He suffered for sins, and He suffered for sins once, and Christ suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous. People say, why is Good Friday good? Because they don't see themselves as unrighteous. It's nonsense to them. They don't see themselves in need of a Savior. But Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's coinciding with our text in 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins. Now let us see the just for the unjust. The just for the unjust. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, For he made him who knew no sin. No sin. No sin. To be sin for us. That. So that. For this reason. For the purpose being. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. So that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. How are you going to add to that? How is your good works in justification, sanctification, or any other kind of ation? How are you going to add to what? That we might become the righteousness of God in Him. In the Lord book, in glory, in the book, it says, righteous, righteousness of God. That's what it says in your account. It doesn't say sinner. That's what it says in Christ's column. Why is Good Friday good? Because He got my sin on that day, and I became the righteousness of God on that day. The righteousness of God. That's what you became. You cannot add to it. You cannot take it apart. You cannot add to it. You cannot subtract from it. And one that understands that he's righteous, guess what? He starts to act righteously. One that knows his sins have been covered, they start acting that way. One that understands that he's blessed, he starts acting that way. One that was ungodly, that Christ has declared now you are the righteousness of God, you will start acting that way. If you're constantly spinning your wheels to try to become godly, you will further spin your wheel. We're in the Northeast here. For you people in Florida or in California, you probably don't know. The wheel's spinning around in the snow. You that's trying to save yourself, you're like, you're stuck in a snowbank and your gun in the car. And the wheels just spinning around and spinning around and spinning around and spinning around. And you have no peace. There's no soft pillow to lay your head down at night. For does God love me? Is He pleased with me? Is He happy with me? Does He delight in me? The Scripture says He loved you when you were a sinner. And guess what? You're still a sinner. So He still loves you. But now He looks at you through the eyes of Christ. He sees Christ. You have become the righteousness of God. Christ suffered for sins. Suffered for sins once. Suffered for sins. The just for the unjust. And the question is what you're hearing, is that good to you? Is that good news? Or is it an offense to you? Because if it's an offense to you, it's your pride that's in the way. If you hear that you can't do nothing and that's a problem to you, it's pride. There's nothing else but pride. And it manifests itself in unbelief. It's the sin of pride manifesting itself in unbelief. once. He offered himself once for all. Not only was God the agent, not only did he give you a gift, not only did Christ suffer in the flesh, suffered for sins once, suffered for sins in order that the just would become, the unjust would become just, but all spiritual blessings as a result of that sacrifice is in Christ. Why is Good Friday good? Because when I look to Calvary, I know that Ephesians 1, 3 can be true of me when I look at the cross. Ephesians 1, verse 3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." When I look to Calvary and see the atonement, see the shed blood, know that payment has been made, know that my sins have been covered, that sin will not be imputed to me, that I have become the righteousness of Christ. When I look to Calvary, I can open my Bible and say, "In Christ has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Are you going to make it? Yeah, you're going to make it because you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We can look to Christ for all of our blessings. We look at Christ, for He is our inheritance. In that same chapter, verse 11 tells us, why is Good Friday good? For verse 11, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance." Obtained an inheritance. Is Good Friday good? Being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, who works all things, especially the death, burial, and resurrection of His Son. He said He delighted to do that. It pleased Him. Do you know Isaiah said it pleased God to crush Jesus Christ? To crush Him. To crush Him. That's how you know your Bible's supernatural. That is bizarre. To think of that and meditate on that without the mind of Christ. They got a room for you up at the nut house. That you think that that's good. Salvation is in Christ. Redemption is in Christ. Look at Colossians 1, verse 14. Why is Good Friday good? Good Friday is good because Colossians 1, 14 tells me, "In whom," no, let's start at verse 13, make it even sweeter. If it ain't sweet enough, let me get it a little sweeter for you. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. Why is Good Friday good? For He has delivered us. Has delivered us. Not going to deliver us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. You that is in bondage to sin. The Scripture says He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. The Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Good Friday is good when I look to Calvary and I see we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Not the ones that I repent of and put away, that I struggle with, that I fall down to, that we have it. The forgiveness of sins, past, present, and future, in whom we have redemption through His blood. There's only redemption one place, in His blood. Not even your repentance. Repentance is a fruit. It's not the cause. It's not the agent. Christ is the cause. It's His blood We have redemption through His blood. That's why people look at a slain Savior and say, it is good. It is good. Good Friday is good. And not only do we find salvation in Christ, redemption in Christ, forgiveness in Christ, we find reconciliation in Christ, we have an inheritance in Christ. And John 1:5 tells us that we have something else in Christ. And Good Friday is good because 1 John 5, verse 11 tells us, and this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Not in your law keeping, not in your doing good, not in your perseverance. In His Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us, has given us. How long is eternal? He has given us eternal life. You have eternal life already. Not you're going to get it. You have it already. It's just in this banged up body of death. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, you will see you had the eternal life all along. You didn't earn it. You had it. But you were too busy getting out of that snowbank. He's giving you eternal life. When you look at Calvary, you say, yes, it is good. Good Friday is good. I have eternal life. And a result of that, how could you do anything but good works? That's the whole point of when He saves you by grace through faith. It says, you're His workmanship for good works. But you have to look at Calvary. And the good works has to flow from Calvary. It don't get to Calvary, that's Rome. If you're going to be a worker, get over to Rome, get the whip out and start whipping on your back and crawling down the streets. If you're going to do it right. Pierce yourself, bloody yourself up, beat yourself down, get your spouse to chip in, help you out a little bit, kick you around maybe. Smack you. If you're going to do it right. Do it like the monks did it. Do it like they did it of old. Don't do it half. Don't say that, Bill. He has given us eternal life. Salvation is only available through Him. He is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. Unless one believes in Him, he will die in his sins. John 6:68 tells us that He has the words of eternal life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Unless one believes in Him, he will die in his sins. He has the words of eternal life. And there is salvation in no other. No other. Including your name. Salvation is no other but in His blood. No mixture. The gracious love of both Father and Son allowed Jesus to come to earth to live as a man, and to suffer that sacrificial death upon the cross. His death and His death alone makes your salvation possible. Since He died to save you, as I said, how else do you think you're going to live in light of that? If you understand the things that I said here tonight, how else are you going to live your life? You're going to live for Him, you're going to love for Him, and you're going to be for Him. You're going to live for Him, you're going to love for Him, and you're going to be for Him. For the Scripture says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And Peter in our text, in 1 Peter 3, verse 19, verse 18 was, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And look at the result of that. Go look down the page to the first two verses of chapter 4. Therefore, as a result of this, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. The one that believes, verse 18, the just for the unjust, that he has brought you to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. You who have been united to him, do you not know that the Scripture says that you have been crucified with him? Turn to Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Why is Good Friday good? Galatians 2:20 tells us, I have been crucified with Christ. Do you see yourself as that? I have been. Past tense. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live. Where are you in the equation here? You're dead. I who live, but Christ lives in me. See? So Christ lives in you, and what's going to happen? Somewhere along the line, he's going to jump ship? He's going to jump out of you because you did something or you failed to do something? Christ who lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Could it be you're not living by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? He gave himself for me. He suffered. But it says in that day, in some mysterious way, you were crucified along with him. You're dead. You're dead. That's why you can't take no suffering. You don't realize that you're dead. The first little thing that happens, oh, God, why? Why? Why didn't I make that $1 million today? Why do I got a toothache? Why this? Why the other thing? There's no sense of suffering. And then you have all the charlatans tell you, well, God don't want you to suffer anyway. Paul's telling us in our text in 1 Peter, therefore, since Christ suffered, first I showed you in Galatians, you've been crucified with him. That's, you know, kind of a death term. 1 Peter 4 says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Arm yourselves. A military term. If the sergeant tells you, pass, pick up that rifle, you're to arm yourself. Arm yourselves, a military term, pick up your weapon, equip yourself for battle, supply yourself with instruments of warfare. Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Do you have the same mind? Do you have the same mind as Christ? Since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. We are to arm ourselves. But I think, brothers and sisters, I think most of us, we read that verse, and rather than it saying, arm yourselves also with the same mind, if the truth be told, are you not saying the text says keep at arm's length? It says arm yourself with the same mind, but most of us are saying, no, keep that at arm's length. Keep that suffering stuff at arm's length. Keep that same mind at arm's length. Not arm myself with the same mind. Arm ourselves with what? The text tells us what to arm ourselves with. The same mind. The mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is holy. Not only is the mind of Christ holy, but the will of Christ is holy. Not only the mind of Christ is holy and the will of Christ is holy, but the motives of Christ are holy. And not only the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the motives of Christ, the actions of Christ are holy. And the text says the sufferings of Christ, we have to put on the same mind, with to arm ourselves. But that weapon lays over in the corner. Arm yourselves with what? What, Bill? Arm yourselves with what? The same mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. How many of you today didn't open your scripture, didn't open it yesterday, didn't open it last week? Maybe you got a scripture up on the mirror in the bathroom while you're brushing your teeth. Oh, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And that's it. He's saying, arm yourselves, a military term. You're in a battle. You wonder why you're beat. The weapons are laying on the ground. You're in a war and there's the weapons laying there. He's telling you, when you look at Calvary, you want an example? For the liberal, you want an example? You've been crucified with Christ. They look at Christ as an example. It's much more than an example. He's the atonement. And when you have that same mind, that you understand that God came to you dead in your sins and your trespasses, He made you alive. That you were a soul that sinned, that you deserved death, that you deserved hell, that you deserved damnation. But yet He demonstrated His love towards you when you were a sinner. That He sent His Son to suffer for you, to die for you, to be crucified in your place. You have to arm yourself with this same mind as Christ. If you arm yourself with the mind of Christ, you will no longer live your... Go back to the text. Look at verse 2. Therefore, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. If you arm yourself with the mind of Christ, you will no longer live the rest of your time in the flesh for your own lust. You are living for your own lust. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eyes. I see. Samson saw, and he saw, and he saw too. And Sonny Boy wound up not being able to see in the end. Because he saw. Notice that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You also will live for the will of God. You will say, as Christ said many years ago, why is Good Friday good? Because Christ one night said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. If Christ did not say that, no atonement, no propitiation, no salvation. You're dead in your sins. The soul that sins shall surely die, condemned to go to hell for eternity. Nevertheless, Christ said that night. Why is Good Friday good? Because Christ said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And brothers and sisters, if we look at the cross and meditate upon the cross, how should we live our life in light of that? We're to arm ourselves with the same mind. Being a Christian, no matter what the charlatans would tell you, is a cross, is a burden, is hard, it hurts, you will be hated, you will be spit upon, you will be mocked, you will be rejected, you will be despised. Now, that's not good news to the flesh, but if you arm yourself with the mind of Christ, the same mind, you will say, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ to pay for the sins of his people, to die for the sins of his people, to die, Father, for the thousands upon tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of times that we have said, my will be done. For all sin, Father, comes down to that. As you told our parents in the garden, do not eat of that tree. Well, nevertheless, they wanted their will be done. And the truth be told, that's the battle we face day by day. From the moment we wake up to the moment we lie our heads down, we fail to live in light of the cross. We arm our minds with everything this world has to offer. And the recurring theme of this world is me and I and the pleasure that me and I want. But Father, we would pray that we would be poured out for Christ. That we, Father, that we would live our lives, Father, as those who know that their sins have been covered, that they have been crucified with Christ, and they no longer live. That you would show your people, Father, that the struggle that they have is they keep insisting me and I want. Where, Father, the Scripture says we're dead. We have been crucified with Christ. But just as Christ was crucified and buried, he was raised again. And Father, we have been raised again in Christ as new creatures. And Father, may it please you to use these new creatures in your service and for your glory, to be ambassadors of the good news that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth will not perish, but have eternal life.